Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to be together, to worship you, to be family, and to think about what you're doing in us and what you want to do through us locally and around the world. We're privileged to be your children, and now we pray that you would clearly and compellingly speak to every one of us, and that we'd all go away from this place this morning sensing something that we've got from you from this message, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. This message is the last one in an 8-week series that we've called Soul Training. And Soul Training is all about utilizing the tools and the resources that God has given us to help us grow, to change our lives, to help us to become more like Christ. Because, we've said this over and over, the gospel insists that transformation of the human personality is possible. Never easy, seldom quick, but definitely possible. And it happens every single time that we allow the Holy Spirit to do what God wants to do inside of us. And when we yield and when we surrender and we cooperate, God's intent is to continue to change us, continue to conform us to the image of his Son. And when we cooperate, he does that. Not instantly, but a little bit every day, until the day that we go home. We utilize the spiritual disciplines, and God does the work of changing and transforming us. The Bible uses the analogy of us being in a race to describe this experience of following Jesus and becoming more like him. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12? I want to look at a couple select verses in a couple different chapters in the book of Hebrews that reminds us about this race that we're in. So we start at chapter 12 and verse 1, and it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." This race is a marathon, not a sprint, and it's a lifetime marathon. A sprint or a dash, you put all your energy in up front to get there as quickly as you can. But in a marathon, you need to pace yourself. You know it's a long haul. A marathon is all about endurance and perseverance and patience. There's a man from our church who grew up playing baseball and hated running. But his sister liked to run, and eventually he got interested in it. And so when he was 40 years old, he decided to run a half marathon. And so he started the train, and his name is Steve Everett. I think we have a picture of Steve. He's the one on the left. Well, they're both Steve, but the one I'm talking about is the one on the left. And so he trained to run this half marathon, and he ran four different half marathons. And from his lips, he told me that training was harder than anything he could have ever imagined. But he trained, and he talked to experienced runners and found out from them the right gear, the exact schedule to train, when, how, what kind of diet, a rigid diet, everything to be the best he could be. And so this year was a very monumental time in his life. On April 18th, he ran in the Boston Marathon. There was 28,000 people that ran in the Boston Marathon, and he was one of them. He said it was one of the most incredible experiences of his entire life. He said the crowd support was unbelievable. He said the whole length of the race, there were people cheering on the sidelines, 15 to 20 rows of people deep, the whole length of the whole race. The cheering was amazing. He said when he crossed the finish line, he had some shin splinters, but he finished right in the middle of the 28,000. And we have a picture of him finishing the race there. And he said, the feeling of accomplishment when he crossed that finish line, he said, was hard to explain what that felt like. And he said, the thought I had after I finished the finish line was, here's a boy from Bear Creek, Wisconsin, that has a population of 452 people, just finished one of the most prestigious races in the world. He said, who would have thunk it? But that sense of accomplishment of competing in the Boston Marathon. And then we have a picture of him after the race. He looks a little relieved, a little happy, like, I did it, I'm done. But he has no regrets about running that race. So think about that sense of accomplishment that you would feel if you completed and did pretty well in the Boston Marathon. Then think about how much more of a sense of accomplishment and fulfillment you'd feel after running this race that we call this race of faith. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says, everyone who competes in the games, any kind of Olympic type game, exercises self-control in all things. And they then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable wreath. They do it for a temporal crown, temporal rewards, which is fine. But we're doing it for an eternal crown, that which has eternal significance and value. So I want to remind us how important it is to keep running this race. It's not how you start a marathon that matters. It's how you finish it. Folks, I can't tell you how many individuals I know that started the race, that were running the race, and then dropped out. They quit. I can't tell you how many churches have started or ministries have started, and they start with a flash and it's exciting and everyone's, that's the talk, and then after a couple of years they just kind of fizzle and die out. I mean, probably all of you know people that at one time had been running in this race, had been walking with Jesus, were passionate, were following him, and now they're not. They quit. They dropped out. They're in neutral. They're not following him anymore. And you go, what happened? What happened? It grieves me when I think of people that I know and love that aren't running the race anymore. It just got too hard and they quit. And I go, no, no. You think about the people that you know aren't running anymore. You go, what happened? And something inside of us cries out and says, that's not supposed to be. Why did that happen? So I want us to think about what can help us make sure that we're not going to drop out, we're not going to quit, that we can finish well, that we will go the distance and cross that finish line. Some of us, by virtue of our age, are closer to finishing than others, right? But if Jesus comes back while we're still living, those of us that know him are going to go finish the cross the finish line together. But I want to tell you about someone that I think is finishing well, okay? There's some well-known Christian leaders that are older that I think are finishing well, but I want to talk about someone from our own church. Her name is Julie Moore, okay? Julie is 92 years old. She came to Christ early in her life, but kind of drifted away from him, and she started attending Christ the Rock 18 years ago when she was 74. She started attending Christ the Rock. And she said when she started attending this church, that's when she came back to Christ, fell in love with Jesus, and she's been loving him and following him ever since. Well, when she first started coming here, she started getting involved with serving. And one of the ways that she served was she was a part of assembling the bulletins on Fridays that all of you are handed when you come in on Sunday morning. She'd come in every Friday morning for 4 hours with a team and help fold those bulletins and put in inserts and get them ready to hand out. She's been doing that for 18 years. She also comes in every Monday for 4 hours or so to help a team count the offering and to help with Sun Harbor tasks. She also helps with bulk mailings, copying, and cutting. And if there's extra stuff needed in the office, they call her and she comes in whenever she's needed. She helps over and over again. 18 years she's been doing that every Monday and Friday. She says, bulletins are a part of my life. After 18 years, week in and week out, bulletins are a part of my life. I've always done that. Ask why she does it. She simply chuckles and says, I just do it for the Lord. I just do it for the Lord. And she says she will continue to help as long as she is able. Julie, would you stand? I know you're right there. I don't want to embarrass you, but let's thank Julie for being so faithful and serving. '92 and going strong, and as long as she's able. Julie, you're probably closer to the finish line than many of us. And just keep running until you cross that finish line. And you're an inspiration to me. You're an inspiration to me. Thank you. Folks, our goal is to finish well, to go the distance, to not give up, to keep running until we cross that finish line, to push through when we hit the wall and everything inside of us is screaming, just stop, just quit, just drop out. It's not worth it. It is worth it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 starts, the very first word of chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore. And whenever we see the word therefore in Scripture, what question are we supposed to ask? What's it there for? It's there to connect a previous body of thought with the next body of thought. So therefore, based on what was previously said, chapter 11, because this is true, now we want us to think about the next thought, chapter 12. So therefore is talking about chapter 11, which is called the Hall of Faith. It's a list of the faithful men and women that have gone before us in the Old Testament that have finished well. In fact, you can read for yourself chapter 11, what highlights the faith of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Moses, Rahab. And then the writer of Hebrews in verse 32 of chapter 11 says, time will fail me to tell you about Gideon and Baruch and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. So he starts naming people that were faithful. Yeah, they failed, they messed up, they made mistakes, but they finished well, they kept running. And he's saying, time will fail me. I don't have time to tell you about all of them. I'll mention a few more. And then he said, there's so many. And therefore, because of all of them that have finished well, that have gone before us, he says, therefore, verse 1, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Most scholars believe that cloud of witnesses surrounding us are either the stories of the faithful that have gone before us or they themselves. So just picture those that have finished well, Hebrews 11, and maybe everyone else throughout church history that have finished well in the grandstands of heaven. And they're in the grandstands of heaven looking at you and I running this race. And they're cheering us on. And they're saying, keep running. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't drop out. Don't throw in the towel. Yes, I know it's hard. It was hard for us. I wanted to quit. We wanted to quit. We're so glad we didn't, because now we're here. And let me tell you, it's better than anything we could have imagined. And it's so worth it. Once you cross that finish line, it's so worth it. We're here. Trust us. We promise you, it's worth it. Don't quit. I see you want to. I understand it's hard. You're in pain. You're suffering. You want to give up. You hit a wall. You're discouraged. You're depressed. But don't give up. It's worth it. We remind you. So the grandstands of heaven are cheering you and I on. And reminding us, it's worth it, it's worth it all. Imagine them, imagine their stories telling us. And then the scripture says, lay aside every weight. Weight's not bad, but if it's hindering you from the running well, then get rid of it. If it's something in your life that's not bad or wrong or sin in itself, but it's slowing you down and you know it's slowing you down from running this race, then get rid of it, chuck it, get it out of your life. And it says, and the sin. So any weight's not wrong, but it's weighing you down. Get rid of that. And sin, you know the sin that plagues you. You know the sin that keeps you from running the race. Well, it says do whatever you need to do to address that, to get the help you need, to see victory, to conquer that thing in your life so that you can keep running well. It says let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. King James says let us run with patience. It's a marathon. Pace yourself. Don't be in a hurry. Don't go 95 miles an hour in a 35 zone. Put it on cruise control so you can keep it at the speed limit. Now, I don't know if you've ever run in a race or a marathon. I never have. But we were with friends this week, and he ran in 32 different marathons. 32. And so I started asking him questions because I don't know anything about running. I'm not a runner. And he said, the hardest part of a marathon is after 20 miles. And he said, it's from 20 miles to 26 miles, that's the hardest. That's when you hit the wall. And he said, that's when everything inside of you wants to quit. And I'm thinking, after 20 miles? I'm thinking, after 100 yards, I'm thinking, I'm sucking air, man. Like, you know, 100 yards and like, water boy, somebody help me here. I mean, you saw when I tried to dance a couple of weeks ago, I was out of breath, man. I was sucking air just from going from there to here. So, but I guess that's true. So the longer you run the race, you think, oh, I'm going to get used to this. It's going to get easier. No, and if you parallel this race that we're in to a marathon, it doesn't get easier. It gets harder. And we hit walls. And we start having doubts. And we start having fears that we didn't have. And we face new challenges. And that's when we need to be reminded, keep running. Keep running. Folks, it's much like getting in shape and losing weight. It doesn't happen quickly. It doesn't happen fast. It's a little bit of daily exercise and daily cutting back your intake of food amounts and staying at it and being consistent and persistent. And ever so slowly, you start losing weight and you start getting in shape. That's part of the discipline. That's part of training. So daily practicing the discipline. Some are daily disciplines. Some are weekly. Some are periodic. But utilizing those disciplines to help us get in shape and to stay in shape so we can run this race and finish well. That's the goal. So in Hebrews 12:2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it reminds us of Jesus and his life and his suffering and all that he went through. And it says, consider him. Consider how he suffered and how he persevered and how he conquered and he rose from the dead. And now he's seated at the right hand. So just from those two verses, Hebrews 12:1-2, there's like 8 words of encouragement or sources of encouragement about us running the race. So let's take a look at them just from those two verses. It says, remember those who've gone before you. Their lives of faithfulness cheer you on. Secondly, lay aside every weight or encumbrance, any weight, and lay aside any sin, and run with patience. Pace yourself. 5, fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider him. Endure your cross. He endured his, your pain, your suffering. And then 7, despise shame. Jesus despised shame. Now, his shame was probably the public shame of crucifixion, but he also took on the shame of our sin. So I think there's 2 kinds of shame, legitimate shame and illegitimate shame. Legitimate shame is when we feel shame because we've sinned and we should feel shame and conviction. And then illegitimate shame when we feel shame and we haven't sinned, but both need to be conquered. Because if you yield to either one of those kinds of shame, shame will always lead you to hide and to isolate. And so we need to come out from hiding, come out from shame, not give shame power to control us and rule our lives. We deal with both kinds of shame at the cross. That's where shame gets conquered, so we're free from shame. So Jesus despised shame, that's part of it. And then the last one was, see Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. That's the 8th one. He's seated, he's sitting. Why is he sitting? Because the work is finished. That's one of the last things he said on the cross is, it is finished. It's finished, the work is done. And I've done it for you. And so he's seated. And it reminds us that it's all finished and we look to him. So I want to ask you, how many of you have felt, and you don't have to raise your hands here, but how many of you lately have felt weary, just tired, discouraged? Maybe you hit that wall and just like, this is just too hard. This is too hard. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. How many of you feel like you need endurance? Like I need something to help me keep going. I can't tell you how many times over the last 41 years since I became a believer that I've wanted to quit, that I've wanted to just throw in the towel and say, I don't want to do this anymore. And most of the time, it's been I wanted to quit being a pastor. I wanted to quit being a leader. It's like it's too hard. It's too painful. I don't want to hurt anymore. I just want it to be easy. I can't tell you how many times, even recently, where I just thought, I just want to stop this, and I just want to move up north in Wisconsin and build a little log cabin on a lake, in the woods, live off the land, maybe work at a sawmill or something, and just stay there until Jesus comes back. No? And then I think, how long could I do that? And that fire in my bones would just say, you know. So maybe you've been tempted recently to want to quit. Maybe it's to quit running this race of faith. You just want to drop out because it's too hard. Or because it's a narrow path, isn't it? It's a narrow path. Or maybe you wanted to quit on your marriage because it's just there's too much conflict and you want to be relieved of that. Or maybe you wanted to quit on a friendship or quit on your small group or quit in some kind of relationship because it's just too hard. It takes too much work. Or maybe you wanted to quit on ministry and serving because you just think, oh, I just need a break. I'm just tired. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't tell you as well how many times I've gotten an infusion of faith that recharged my batteries and helped me break through that wall and helped me keep running. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the scriptures and the scriptures have spoken life and reminded me of the bigger picture, reminded me of the larger story. And I was infused with the strength of the scriptures, especially Hebrews 10, 11, and 12. Hundreds of times in my life, I've gone to Hebrews 10, 11, and 12 to be recharged, to remind me of the finish line, to encourage me and inspire me and motivate me to keep running this race. May it encourage you today. Maybe you want to quit. Listen to the words of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 39. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, that you may receive what was promised when you cross the finish line. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, God says, my soul has no pleasure in him. I'm not pleased when you shrink back, when you quit, God says. But we are not of those that shrink back. You're not going to quit. You're not going to shrink back to destruction, but you are of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. You're going to keep going. I know you can. God's word is telling us you're going to keep running the race. You're not going to stop. The scriptures come to encourage us and remind us that it's all worth it. And I love that verse that says, for in yet a little while he who is coming will come. And I read that and I go, in a little while? Jesus, you said you're coming back soon. That was a little over 2,000 years ago. And that doesn't seem like in a very little while. But we live in time. He doesn't. And what does it say in Scripture? That one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. And so we might think in a little while he's going to come. But in a little while, in our time may seem like a long time, but in eyes of eternity, a little while is not very long. It's probably like once you get past the 20-mile mark when you're running a marathon and you think, oh, I've only got 6 miles to go. You go, there is a finish line. I can't see it yet, but I know it's there. And so I want to just keep running. In a little while, he's coming. And when he comes, either to take me home individually because I'll die and go be with him, or he comes back and takes every believer home and takes us off this earth because we know him and he'll come and get us because he's coming back. Either one, that's the finish line. That's the finish line. And once we finish and cross that line, imagine what it's like in a marathon I crossed that sense of fulfillment. How many of you watched the Rio Olympics, some of the Olympics this year? I did too. I was so impressed with so many things we saw. But one thing that I thought of is, did you see anyone who won a gold or a silver or a bronze? And you know, they win it, you know, they run or swim or whatever the competition is, and they win, that sense of relief and joy of winning. And then the time comes when they stand on that little podium and, you know, they put the medal over them and they play the national anthem of the country that they're from. Do you think anyone standing, whether it's the gold, silver, or bronze, anyone ever standing there with getting the medal and the song, ever thinks, oh, shoot, I wish I wouldn't have done this? Do you think anyone's like, oh, I have so much regret. I wish I wouldn't have trained so hard. I wish I wouldn't have worked so hard for this. And, you know, I don't think anybody regrets it. And when we cross that finish line, folks, when we see Jesus face to face, when we look directly, we see through a glass dimly now, but when we look directly into the compassionate, loving eyes of Jesus, and we see sheer love and grace, and he embraces us, you think we're going to have any regrets? We think we're going to look back and go, oh, shoot, I wish I wouldn't have worked so hard. I wish I wouldn't have ran. I wish I wouldn't have. We're going to be like, oh, it's so worth it. And that's what those that have gone before us are saying. They're saying, we're here. Trust us. It's better than anything we could have imagined. And it's worth it. So you who are still running the race, keep running. Because he who is coming is going to come. And when he comes, you cross that finish line, you'll go, oh, oh, not only will you see Jesus, you'll see all the faithful that have gone before us. People you know and love that have gone before us. It'll be this incredible reunion where everything's going to be the way it's supposed to be. Huh, how sweet. I want to encourage you. I want you to finish well. I want to finish well. And I want every one of you to finish well. And I don't want anyone else to drop out. And let's pray for those who have dropped out that they'd get back in. Because it's inevitable that, you know, we're going to fall. We're going to fail. All of us do in this race. How many of you saw, what's his name, that fell when he, Mo Farah, the 10,000 meter race, you know? And he tripped and he fell in that race. And it said, he said when he was down, he said, immediately thought, try to get up, try to get up, don't panic. And Mo Farah got back up and he regained momentum and he still won that race and won the gold. So it's inevitable that we're gonna fail, we're gonna fall. But the scriptures encourage us to keep running the race. There's some wonderful verses in James that we don't have time to get into that remind us to count it all joy when we fall into various kinds of trials. Different kinds of trials because it produces endurance. And Hebrews tells us we have need of endurance. And James 1 says the way to get endurance is through trials. So God uses trials and pain and difficulty to strengthen us, to get us in shape so we can keep running the race. Blessed is the man. James 1:12 says, who perseveres under trial, for once he's been approved, he'll receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that love him. So whenever you're going through a tough time, ask this question. What's God's desired outcome for what I'm going through? I just want the pain to end. I want comfort. I want relief. I want this to end. That's what I want. But what's God's desired outcome through whatever it is I'm going through? And I want to trust him, even if I don't know what that outcome is, even if he doesn't tell me what it is and I can't see it. I'm going to trust that God is at work in what I'm going through to produce something that he deems is more important than just relieving me from it. And that's what Romans 8:28 tells us, doesn't it? That one of many people's favorite verse, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And what's his purpose? Verse 29. A lot of people read Romans 8:28, but they don't read verse 29. Verse 29 is that we'd be conformed to the image of Jesus. So when it says all things work together for good, the good is that we're becoming more like Jesus. That's the good. So whatever it is we're going through, God's agenda is to make us more like Jesus. And that's more important to him than relieving us of whatever it is that we don't like that we're going through. And we can have confidence that because God loves us, he's up to good in our lives. It's amazing. So in this race, we're going to fall. But when you fall, get back up. Proverbs 24:16 says, a righteous man falls seven times but rises back up again. You're going to fall. You're going to fail. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to sin. You're going to blow it. But get back up. Don't stay down. Don't stay laying in your shame and your regret and your self-contempt and your self-hatred. Don't wallow in that. Just know that that's what the cross is about, and I can go and confess my sin to God, and he'll forgive me, and I can confess my sin to whoever's been affected by it, and they can forgive me, and I can just get right back up and bounce back up and regain momentum and keep running and learn from my failure, learn from my mistakes. I sense very strongly that there's some people this morning that need that part right now. You need to hear God saying, get back up. Don't stay down. Okay, you failed, you blew it, confess it, and then just get back in the game. Some of you really need to get out of the shame and back in the game, back in the race. I want to finish well, and I want you to finish well. And I think there's four sources of encouragement that encourage us to keep running this race. Let me cover them. Number one, encouragement from the cloud of witnesses. You know, those that have gone before, their stories of whether it's all these cloud of witnesses that are listed or those through church history that were faithful to the end. Read their stories and be encouraged and see them cheering you on from those grandstands. The second source of encouragement is from the person and life of Jesus. Verse 2, considering or looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher. So just look at him, his life, consider him, what he went through, and that'll encourage you to keep running the race as well and knowing you're going to see him someday. Third source of encouragement is encouragement from the scriptures. The word of God is powerful and it feeds us and encourages and nourishes us. Romans 15, 4 and 5 says, for whatever was written in earlier times, the Old Testament at this time, New Testament is included now, of course, was written for our instruction so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you and me and all of us to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. So we get encouragement from the scriptures. That's why we need to be in it daily. And then the fourth source of encouragement is from each other. We need to join in with the people that have gone before us in the grandstands of heaven and cheer each other on. Hebrews 3:13 says that we should encourage one another daily. And daily. Every day, encourage each other. Hebrews 10:25 says, don't forsake assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So don't forsake getting together with other believers. We need each other. Don't forsake getting together on a Sunday morning. Don't forsake getting together in a small group or in a Bible study or connecting. So, and one of the things we do when we get together is we encourage each other, cheer each other on. Come on, don't give up. I know it's tough. I'm sorry for what you're going through, but I want to pray for you. I want to lift up your arms. I want to remind you that it's worth it. So we need each other. So as we get encouragement to keep running the race, we also, this whole 8-week series, is reminding us to use the spiritual disciplines as a means to helping us get in shape and stay in shape so we can keep running the race. So what I'd like you to do right now is to take out your insert in your bulletin that says spiritual disciplines on it, okay? And this is the application part. This is a combination of spiritual disciplines that were the combination of Richard Foster and Dallas Willard have come up with this list. You know, there's some debate about what the disciplines are and what they're not. But the way they're listed here on one side are disciplines of activity, where you're getting involved actively in something. And then on the back side, they're disciplines of abstinence or letting go of something. So I believe the two most important disciplines out of them all are prayer, just your two-way communication with God, that intimacy with God, cultivating your relationship with God every day, a daily discipline, and then time spent in the Word of God. I think those should be disciplines that should be in every Christian's life every day, daily disciplines. So if you don't have time every day etched apart just to be with God in prayer and the Word, I would encourage you to circle those two. Number one, study, and number two, prayer. And say, I am choosing to carve time out of my day every day to spend time in prayer and time in the Word, okay? Start there. Start with those two. They're the most important. If you already have those disciplines that you're spending time every day with God in prayer and in the Word, then I'd encourage you to read through the rest of the list on that side and the other side and say, what one or two other spiritual disciplines do I sense I need to incorporate into my life, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, or occasionally? But I sense I'm supposed to add this discipline or that discipline that will help strengthen and help me grow and help change me and transform me. So I'd like us to take a moment right now, and if you need a pen or a pencil, the ushers will come, just indicate, or take out your own pen. And right now, this is the application part. I want you to circle one or two that you're going to start incorporating in your life because it's a tool that God gave to help strengthen you to finish well. So we're going to take a minute of silence just for you to think about it, pray about it, check one or two off, circle them, and then I'll pray and we'll close with a song. So let's do that right now. Time later today or tomorrow to think more deeply, pray more deeply about which one or two disciplines tools that you've given us that we need to just incorporate into our lives as a means to help us get stronger and grow. But what I pray more than anything else for every one of us is that you would help us utilize the tools you gave us so that we can keep running this race well, because we want to finish well. So would you motivate and inspire and encourage and give us the grace and strength to utilize what you gave us so that we can keep running this race with patience. You've given us the means. You've given us the resources. So help us utilize them. We don't want to see one more person drop out of the race. Help us use what you've given us and help us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. And help us believe that you're at work in and through everything we go through to strengthen us for this journey. We pray all this in Christ's name, and everyone said,